Sam.
Morning, Anne.
Morning, recovery people everywhere. And good morning, Hamish. Morning, Hamish. Morning, birds. Morning, people.
It is April the 8th. And this is from... Oh, it's eclipse night.
Is it?
Yeah, it's the big one. It's something like the planets are aligned and they haven't done that for about 300 and something years, and it's very unique. They'll see it in America, I think.
Yeah, that's Morn and Mike have gone to America.
Sorry?
Morn and Mike have gone to America
to
for
see
the
it.
Eclipse, yeah.
Wow. Which country? Which
Texas.
Texas. Oh, I hope they have
Texas.
A good
Texas.
View
the
of
cowboys.
It. So... From opening doors within, hope everyone's well. Lean not on anyone. You need no outer props or reassurances, for you have all deep within you. It is inner peace that everyone longs for, and it is there when you take time to look for it. Do you take time to seek the truth, or do you accept everything you hear, see and read at face value? When you know something from within, nothing or no one from without can shake it. It is something that is so real to you, it wouldn't matter if the whole world went against you, telling you that you were wrong. You would be able to go quietly along your way without being disturbed or thrown off balance. That is the joy and strength of inner knowing. It is what you can give. It is what can give you the peace which passes all understanding. So whenever you are in any doubt about anything, go within and seek the truth. I will reveal it to you, and then go your way in peace and confidence. What an amazing resource to have.
Mm.
You know, I heard it yesterday in a meeting. Someone that was really struggling and was very irritable, restless, discontent, and she actually had to sit there and work out what was wrong with her, because, you know, perhaps her sponsor was busy or hadn't been able to speak to her, and she worked it out, sitting in that silence, working out her restless irritability and her discontentedness meant that she could make peace with it. She suddenly got a realisation. Ah, okay. I'm not dealing with grief very well. Okay. And that's triggered something else from my past.
Mm.
Right, okay. That's uncomfortable, isn't it? That's why she was pointing the finger at everyone else and there was three pointing back at her that she hadn't even realised. You know, that she was picking on, you know, it's easy to find fault in others when you're feeling restless, irritable and discontent, isn't it? But she really sat there and she worked it out. You know, and grief can come in many forms. It can be fear, anxiety, and she just worked it out. And that's what you can do. You know, tap into that inner resource. You can, you know, ask the questions, you know, before you go to sleep. Why am I feeling like this? Do a mini step four, exactly what she said. She did all the right things. And I think that's a really good lesson, because that means that you're not always searching for external people to fix you. You know, you're actually confident in your own abilities of working a program. And that gives you great peace. To know that anytime, anywhere, even if it's in the middle of the night and you don't want to disturb someone, you can find out and sit, be able to sit with those uncomfortable feelings and know, identify them and know that they will pass. And if they don't, then you phone, you know. I think it's a really good tool to go within. And I love that. Even if the whole world are against you, But you have that inner knowing that you're doing the right thing. That's amazingly confident, isn't it? That, you know, imagine if everyone else said in the world, well, actually, alcohol's really good for you. You should be drinking it as a health benefit. I would know that's wrong. I would have that deep inner knowing for me.
Yeah.
No, not that it ever would. But do you know what I mean? That's just a silly example. But when you've got that deep inner knowing of... I think I had it with early recovery when I knew I had to let some friends go.
Mm.
I knew that it wasn't the right thing, and I could see them. They were just drinking buddies and they were serving me no good at all. And that deep inner knowing, it was horrible. It was like a breakup, you know. We shared a lot of things together, and you know, I was grateful for her time when I was in the madness, but I just absolutely knew that that friendship could go no further.
Mm.
And the more I examined it, it was very one-sided, and to her advantage to be a friend of mine,
mm.
not the other way around.
Mm.
So yeah, I think that's a good practice, isn't it, to sit and find the answers within. It says it in the spiritual experience in Appendix 2.
Mm.
You know, tap into that inner resource.
Mm. Mm. Very good.
Anything to add?
Well, I'll just... I don't know. It's difficult when people are behaving in ways that affect you, you know, and it's not a good, not in a good way, you know, then, you know, if you feel like you're being taken advantage of or, you know, not treated very well, then it's hard not to react to that, and you know, your inner peace is
shattered.
It's not there, you know. Yeah. And I mean, that's got up early this morning because I started worrying about stuff at work.
Did you?
Mm. Mm. And I thought, well, I might as well just get on with the day.
Mm.
On the basis that I'm unlikely to go back to sleep now, because now that I start fretting about things, and you know, that's the reality of the world we live in, isn't it? You know, that there's, we've all got worries. And it's like, well, you know, hand it all over. But then it's like, well, actually, I have to do something about it sometimes, you know.
You take action, yeah.
I can't just sit here and let God deal with it all, right. You know. God's going to expect me to take some responsibility. And, therefore, you know, if there's something bothering you, you have to pay attention to it, you know, and figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Do something about it.
Well, we used to
courage to change things you can, you know, and yeah, it's not always easy.
We used to hide from things like that, though, you know, as alcoholics. You know, if there's something worrying us, we'd take a drink on it. And we'd push it down and down until it actually got into an unsolvable problem.
Mm.
But now you can, you know. Mm. You can do something about it. You can face everything and recover.
Mm.
Instead of F everything and run, you know, escape. And that's, you know, that's what we learn, isn't it, when we come in.
Mm.
We have to take action on certain things, not bury them anymore.
Mm.
And also, I think it's really good to get up. You know, there's nothing worse than being in your own head, having it go round and round. It's better to get up, isn't it, and do something.
Mm.
So that's good. What's Bill got?
Marching on.
Isn't it funny, you know, that one person's problem is another one's luxury, like... There'd be people out there thinking, I wish I had a job to worry about. Mm. You know, it's mm, always
indeed.
It's always good to, you know, and then you get up and you do gratitudes and put yourself in a different frame of mind to think, oh yeah, I'm actually, I'll face this new challenge with appreciation of my gratitude for my job, that I provide service for the other people that are working there. And, you know, it suddenly doesn't seem quite as horrific as first thought, you know, if you tackle it.
No, it's not horrific at all, you know, it's just like, there's always something to worry about in life, isn't there? You know, I mean, it's like whether it's, you know, sick relative or problems at work or
someone said that in the meeting yesterday, you know, that, you know, she was consumed by this one problem in her life, and she said at the end of that there'd probably be another one to take over as soon as that one's finished. There's always something. But I think that's the nature of the mind, is natural to worry. But if
you're just looking for a better class of problem, really.
Yeah. So
always, you know, try to move up.
I think, you know, the antidote sometimes, I know you have to take action today, but, you know, if it's the past, it's depression of the past. If it's fear of the future, it's anxiety. But if you're keeping it today, what have you got to do today? Then you can be present, and it, you know, you can not be in so much fear.
This is 256 from Asbel Sees It, from The Grapevine, July 1962. When this book came out? 1967. First print in 1967. Crikey. So I was four.
I was one.
A special experience, question mark. I was the recipient of a tremendous mystic experience or illumination, and at first it was very natural for me to feel that this experience staked me out as somebody very special. But as I now look back upon this tremendous event, I can only feel very grateful. It now seems clear that the only special features of my experience were its suddenness and the overwhelming and immediate conviction that it carried. In all other respects, however, I am sure that my own experience was essentially like that received by any AA member who has strenuously practiced our recovery program. Surely, the grace he receives is also of God. The only difference is that he became aware of his gift more gradually. Strenuously practiced our recovery program. Yeah, well, I've been doing this for 6 years, 8 months. Quite strenuously, really, I suppose.
Strenuously,
yeah. Diligently.
Strenuously.
Consistently.
A strain.
Strenuously. It means like you're...
Oh, strenuously.
You're trying really hard.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's, yeah, it's a strain. If you feel the strain, you know, it's like you're putting the effort in. It requires an effort.
So he's talking about an experience or an awakening, you know.
Yeah, he had this sort of blinding white light, didn't he? But, you know, he was taking belladonna at the time. Which is kind of trippy stuff.
But it works for him. You know, it was that illumination, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was real.
And, you know, in all other respects, I'm sure that my own experience was essentially like that received by any... So what he's saying, it's, you know, it's... It can be both, can't it? It can be a sudden spiritual experience, or it can be an awakening. I think I had both, because I'm a greedy alcoholic. You know, I had that sudden realization lying on the floor. Really, it was profound, and I don't know why. And I really believed that there was someone looking after me, because I was close to going out. You know, I wasn't I wasn't living properly at all.
Mm.
And I suddenly was given that gift of desperation. It was like, oh my God, I've had enough. I did my 1, 2, and 3 on the floor when I was drunk. It was, but then I needed the awakening of realizing, you know, that I needed to do this, you know, program. I needed to get rid of my resentments and my fears. And, you know, I had to learn how to trust the higher power that I didn't even know had been responsible for my sudden, you know, surrender. You know, I didn't realise what was happening. And anyone can, you know, get, what was it? The, what's his name? Henry James, is it? What he describes. William James. As the
educational experience.
Yeah. You know, when you're properly armed with the facts and you go through the book and you suddenly get identification when you read certain chapters and they're pointed out when you're going through the steps, then you realise, okay. I mean, yours, you know, you've had a sudden realisation, you know, quite recently, haven't you?
Well, I wouldn't say it was sudden, you know, it's taken 6 years, 8 months, but it's like...
no, but you, know, you suddenly realised.
Yeah, you know, I think you're on this sort of, it's like stepping stones, you know, and one leads to another, and then suddenly you get across the river, you know, and you're standing on the other side, and it's like, oh, you know, it's different this side of the river. And... yeah, I mean, and the kind of journey is, you know, it was like, I knew at the start, who's doing well in this, you know, looking around, who are the people that seem happy? Who are the people who seem like they're no chance of drinking again? And they seem to be doing all the service. You know, so that was kind of like, let's do service then. Did a lot of service to start off with, you know, in the first few years, and then kind of got a bit jaded by it and a bit resentful and pulled back from it, and then come around to the realization that you know, it's essential, you know, it's part of the steps, you know, step 12. The principle underlying step 12 is service, and you know, if I'm not doing service, then why should God give a fuck about me? You know, it's like not doing anything to justify that kind of power, you know. So it's like, get more service.
And you said yesterday it comes in many forms, doesn't it? You know, family, neighbours, colleagues, the whole...
Your whole life should be a kind of, you know, you're just looking at, you know, looking at for opportunities to apply the AA programme, you know, the application of AA techniques. So it's, you know, it's within AA or CA, within your family, within your work, within your community, within the whole world. You know, it's within the field of consciousness. The idea of service being to make a positive impact, you know, to be constructive, not destructive. You know, it's a very wide idea, you know, in terms of what actions are, you know, comprise service. It's not just getting a position within the... the organisation of, you know, 12-step fellowship, albeit that's somewhere you should be doing something. You know, if you're going to meetings and you don't do anything, you don't do any service anywhere at all, you just turn up to meetings.
You don't feel part of it then, do you?
Well,
you're a bit on
you're
the
gonna
outside.
You're going to drink, you know, unless you're some sort of crazy dry drunk, you know. It's probably likely that you'll pick up a drink, you know, because you're going to get bored, you're going to get jaded, you're going to get resentful. like, you know, and just drift away. It's not a guarantee, but you know, I'm looking for a guarantee of sobriety, and it's the service that, you know, and the, you know, working with other alcoholics is a big part of that. It doesn't, you don't have to be sponsoring alcoholics to be helping them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think some, you know, some people are better suited to sponsorship than others, you know, but there's, we've all got our own capabilities, you know, and it's a matter of,
I know there's really good
what kind of service suits, you know, me, you know,
PI and, you know, going to intergroup people, you know, that they really enjoy that role and they're really good at it. So yeah, it's finding your niche, isn't it? And, you know, just doing
and that something. Attitude, you know, it talks about in the first reading, you know, our attitude is our choice, you know, and what do I have to do today, you know, and see it as a burden, or what do I have to do today to see it as a, you know, an opportunity, as a, you know, and as a gift.
So you're going to work with a new vigour to try and, you know, an opportunity for you to...
I wouldn't go that far. I've got a bit of anxiety. I'm feeling a bit of anxiety, you know, but it's just like, rather than hide, you know, and go in late, get in early, you know, and go on with it.
Well done.
That's the idea.
Good. Have a lovely day, everyone. Happy Mondays.
Yeah, thanks, Sam.
Thanks, Sam.